Welcome to the Shortwave Report. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. This Shortwave Report is a 30-minute review of news and opinion heard on a shortwave radio and the internet in Northern California. Listening to international broadcast at home is quite easy. You just need a shortwave radio with a schedule of English language broadcast or a computer or smartphone with an internet connection. To help you with this, I'll announce times, frequencies, and website addresses at the conclusion of each series of stories. At the website for this show, that's www.outfarpress.com, you can listen to the past 5 shortwave reports, find advice for listening to shortwave at home, and find internet links for global news sources. Please check it out and tell a friend. In today's edition, you'll hear reports from Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, Spanish National Radio, and Radio Havana, Cuba. We'll begin with Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle. A series of brief reports, including Greece imprisons leaders of the Golden Dawn, the neo-Nazi political party. Greece, Turkey, Israel, and Lebanon all look to develop gas in the Mediterranean. And at least half of the corals in the Great Barrier Reef have died from climate change in the past 25 years. In Thailand, protests against the monarchy have continued to escalate. The European Union has sanctioned Russians over the poisoning of an opposition leader, while China and Russia have been elected to the United Nations Human Rights Council. In COVID news, the United Nations predicts food shortages in many countries. New tough restrictions have been imposed across Europe in reaction to a serious rise in COVID infections, and curfews are in effect in major cities in France, including Paris. Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle.
In a landmark ruling, a Greek court has handed long prison sentences to the leaders of neo-Nazi group Golden Dawn. The group's leader, Nikos Mikalaliakos, and several other members were sentenced for running a criminal gang. The former political party has been linked to a number of violent hate crimes.
Germany has pledged solidarity with Greece and Cyprus in their dispute with Turkey over sea boundaries. In Athens, German Foreign Minister Heiko Maas warned Turkey of a major setback in relations with Europe. Turkish ships have been searching for gas reserves in waters that Greece and Cyprus also claim.
Israel and Lebanon have begun talks on settling a long-running dispute over their maritime border. Both sides hope the negotiations will clear the way for gas exploration. The talks are being described as purely technical, as the two countries are still officially at war.
Scientists are warning that Australia's Great Barrier Reef is disappearing at an alarming rate. A new study has confirmed that at least half of the corals of the World Heritage Site have died over the past 25 years. Researchers say climate change is irreversibly destroying the underwater ecosystem.
Protesters have gathered in Thailand's capital, Bangkok. They faced off against police and government supporters dressed in yellow. Activists are calling for reform of the monarchy. Criticizing the king is traditionally seen as taboo, but protests have gained momentum over the last few months.
The European Union has agreed to sanction 6 Russian security officials over the poisoning of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny. The asset freezes and travel bans are to be implemented within days. Russia's threatened to hit back with a similar blacklist.
China and Russia have been elected to the United Nations Human Rights Council. The vote went through despite warnings from human rights groups that the UN grouping's credibility is at stake. Saudi Arabia failed to win a place on the 47-seat international body.
Worldwide, the coronavirus has claimed more than 1 million lives. It has also increased the threat of hunger for millions of people. The United Nations World Food Program says it will need $7 billion over the next 6 months to help deal with famine amid the COVID-19 crisis. Last week, the World Food Program was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for its efforts to prevent the use of hunger as a weapon of war. During the COVID-19 pandemic, the WFP has dispatched supplies and food to more than 120 countries.
Countries across Europe have begun to impose new restrictions on public and private life as they struggle to cope with the steep rise in coronavirus infections. With Europe's highest coronavirus death toll, the UK has unveiled a new three-tier lockdown system, closing pubs, gyms and betting shops in England's highest risk areas, while Northern Ireland's regional government has just imposed Europe's harshest second wave restrictions. The Czech Republic has imposed a state of emergency, and new restrictions came into effect today, closing all schools, bars, restaurants and clubs. And the Netherlands is also closing restaurants, hotels and cafes in a return to a partial lockdown.
Well, it's a serious situation in France as well. The President Emmanuel Macron has reimposed a public health state of emergency, saying that France is in, quote, a worrying situation when it comes to the coronavirus outbreak. In a televised interview, the president announced that Paris and eight other cities will have a 9 p.m. curfew. He stressed that the virus is not out of control, but he warned that the healthcare system has little capacity left to deal with the pandemic. It comes as French authorities reported over 20,000 new coronavirus infections for the third time in a week.
Those reports were from Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, which may be heard at a combined audio-video website, dw.com. Next, Radio Exterior de España, or Spanish National Radio. Allison Hughes begins with one of the few positive results of the COVID pandemic. The International Energy Agency predicts a reduction in energy demands and CO2 emissions for the coming decade and much wider use of solar energy. The World Health Organization explained that herd immunity is only effective in the presence of an effective vaccine. Oxfam released a report noting that the majority of loans from the International Monetary Fund to countries in COVID crises entail spending cuts and austerity measures that will worsen inequality. Activists are calling for the International Monetary Fund to sell a small amount of its massive gold reserves to cover debt payments owed by the world's poorest countries. In Costa Rica, citizens have been protesting their government for negotiating an IMF loan. This week, the demonstrations became violent after police tried to disperse crowds. Spanish National Radio.
The demand for energy will be reduced by 5% this year and CO2 emissions by 7% as a result of the coronavirus pandemic. The International Energy Agency reported on Tuesday that these positive effects will last and will change the tendency for the coming decade.
COVID crisis has caused more disruption to energy world than any other event in the history. And I personally believe that this crisis will leave scars for many years to come.
That was the IEA Executive Director, Fatih Birol. The oil market will receive a long-lasting blow from the coronavirus, with demand taking years to recover and peaking at a lower level. The IEA said after an unprecedented 8% drop this year, global oil consumption could return to pre-crisis levels in 2023 if COVID is brought under control next year. The IEA reinforced its view that global oil demand will plateau around 2030, topping out at lower levels than forecasts last year. The era of global oil demand growth will come to an end in the next decade, the executive director said in the agency's annual World Agency Outlook.
The era of global oil demand growth will come to an end within the next 10 years, but in the absence of major shifts in government policies, I don't see clear signs of a global oil demand peak.
The agency declared solar power the new king of electricity and finds it is already cheaper than power generated by new coal and gas developments in most countries and is providing, quote, some of the lowest cost electricity ever seen. The end of the coal era has been accelerated by the COVID-19 pandemic. According to one scenario in the annual report, for the first time since the Industrial Revolution, coal-fired power will constitute less than 20% of the world's energy by 2040. At the same time, the IEA warns that the economic slump as a result of the pandemic cannot be viewed as a solution to climate change. The Energy Agency is explicit. Unless nations adopt green economic recovery policies, emissions will quickly rise in the recovery. Dr. Fatih Birol.
We expect that even in the absence of major policy shifts, renewables alone will meet 80% of the global electricity demand growth within the next 10 years. And here, the lion's share goes to solar.
The economic downturn has temporarily suppressed emissions, but low economic growth is not a low emissions strategy. It is a strategy that would only serve to further impoverish the world's most vulnerable populations, he said. Instead, governments should adopt policies to drive down emissions.
But our numbers show that the world is far from doing enough to put them into a structural decline. Again, global economy rebounds, so will the emissions.
As the second wave of COVID-19 cases sweep the globe, the countries around the world continue to take a variety of approaches to the health crisis. The World Health Organization recognizes the breadth of this second wave and in a press conference on Monday warned,
some countries have had no choice but to issue stay-at-home orders and other measures to buy time.
The WHO's Secretary General also explained that the so-called herd immunity applies only in the existence of a vaccine, that herd immunity is achieved by protecting people from a viral infection, not from exposing them to it.
Letting the virus circulate unchecked, therefore, means allowing unnecessary infections, suffering, and death.
Allowing a dangerous virus that we don't fully understand to run free, he said, would be unethical. The charity group Oxfam International has released a report noting that the majority of the loans the International Monetary Fund has made to countries in crisis during the COVID pandemic entail spending cuts that will worsen inequality. The IMF acknowledges the rising inequality and that the world's debt is set to reach record highs this year. According to Oxfam, 76 of the 91 loans that the IMF has made since March have sought austerity measures. The result could be deep cuts to public health care and to pensions, freeze on wages and cuts for workers such as doctors and teachers, as well as reduced unemployment benefits like sick pay. The International Monetary Fund has repeatedly told its 189 member countries during this COVID crisis to spend what they can and need to save lives and support their populations, and has supplied them with emergency funds. The IMF answered Oxfam's report, saying the financing it has delivered focused on immediate support with no conditionality, and that once the pandemic is over, many countries will face higher debts and lower revenue and will need to put their finances back on track. According to IMF Fund spokesman Jerry Rice, the IMF has three priorities for countries to get their finances back on track: boost revenues through progressive tax measures while cracking down on loopholes and evasion, reprioritize spending and enhance efficiency, and for the international community to step up and provide grants and concessional financing, additional debt relief, and in some cases reprofiling or restructuring debt to the most impoverished countries. The IMF and the World Bank will meet next week. The Guardian newspaper reports debt campaigners are calling for the International Monetary Fund to sell some of its stockpile of gold to cover the debt payments owed by the world's poorest countries for the next 15 months. With the looming developing world debt crisis high on the agenda at this week's annual meetings of the IMF, the Jubilee Debt Campaign, the JDC, said gold sales would help the most vulnerable countries cope with the COVID-19 shock and pave the way for a broader debt deal. The IMF holds 90.5 metric ounces of gold, or 2,814 metric tons, worth about $175 billion at current prices. The JDC said selling less than 7% of the IMF's gold would generate $12 billion profit, which is enough to cancel the debts owed by the 73 poorest countries until the end of 2021, and still leave the Washington-based organization with $26 billion more gold than it had held at the start of the year. In Costa Rica, demonstrators protesting against the government's negotiation of a loan with the IMF clashed with police on Monday, resulting in at least 11 police agents injured and 28 people arrested. Since September 30th, there have been daily protests outside the presidential palace in San Jose and other areas of the capital. According to Costa Rican authorities, protesters are still blocking at least seven highways. The number and the head of the national police justified the use of tear gas and clubbing against demonstrators who, he said, threw rocks and threatened to overturn police trucks. The Movement for National Rescue has organized the protests and blockades, with leaders saying the march began peacefully and the clashes began only after police tried to disperse the crowds. Joining the movement are civil servants affiliated with the National Association of Public Employees and the Association of Communications and Energy Industry Workers. Union leaders have blamed Costa Rican President Carlos Alvarado for ordering the repression of Monday's protesters, saying he is the only one to blame for the blood spilled among the Costa Ricans. He ordered the violence against the demonstrators. President Alvarado, for his part, wrote it on Twitter Monday that the police is civil and also condemned the brutal violence with which they were attacked. He said, "We will make the full weight of the law fall on those responsible and the instigators. We are a country of peace and dialogue and of law and respect." The government and various sectors have been called to meet this coming Saturday, the 17th of October, to discuss ways of overcoming the economic crisis provided by the pandemic. The demonstrators are opposed to negotiating a $1.75 billion IMF loan and also to the sale of state industries, the closure of state institutions, and reduction of public spending. The Movement for National Rescue, led by former MP Celimo Guido, says he hasn't been invited to the meeting and demands Alvarado to promise in writing that he will not appeal to the IMF during the rest of the legislature.
Those reports by Allison Hughes were from her program called Panorama on Radio Exterior de España, or Spanish National Radio. Spain may be heard at their website rtve.es and by podcast as REE. If you have questions or comments about the shortwave report, or could make a donation for production cost of this unfunded program, I may be reached through the website and PayPal, or by writing to Dan Roberts at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California 95490. Please, if you find this program beneficial, help support my efforts like listeners in Whitethorn and Mendocino, California did this week. Many, many thanks. We will conclude this Radio Havana, Cuba. Venezuelan President Maduro says that 1,000 mercenaries are being trained in Colombia to sabotage Venezuelan parliamentary elections in December. Exiled Bolivian President Evo Morales says that attempts are underway to interfere with this weekend's Bolivian election. China has called on the U.S. to restrict military operations in the South China Sea. Latin America has the highest number of regional deaths from the coronavirus. The New York Times says that the White House blocked a CDC order requiring face masks on all public transport, and says in an editorial that Trump has built a system of direct presidential influence unrivaled in modern U.S. politics. The United Nations reports that climate change is largely to blame for a near doubling of natural disasters in the last 20 years. Radio Havana, Cuba.
Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro affirmed that more than 1,000 mercenaries are being trained in Colombia, supported by Colombian President Iván Duque, with the objective of sabotaging the parliamentary elections of December. The Venezuelan president said at this moment in Colombia, more than 1,000 mercenaries are being prepared under directed operation with the help of the intelligence structure of Colombia and under the protection of Iván Duque to sabotage the political and electoral climate in Venezuela. The Venezuelan president denounced that his country lives under a constant threat from the United States, which he accused of seeking to start a war in his country. The United States wants to sabotage and grossly create a war in Venezuela, a country that will soon celebrate a new democratic victory with the election of a new parliament. He assured parliamentarians that next December the 6th, they will have ample electoral guarantees, for which he insisted in inviting all organizations that wish to participate as election observers. Bolivia's former president, Evo Morales, who resigned last November under pressure from the country's military and U.S.-backed opposition, warns that attempts are underway to interfere in the Latin American upcoming elections on Sunday. The former head of state made the remarks in an exclusive interview with Iran's Hispan TV Spanish-language television network on Tuesday. Evo Morales was seeking to nationalize the extraction of Bolivia's lithium reserves when he was forced to resign last November under pressure from the Bolivian military following the opposition's challenging to the victory that he had secured in the presidential elections in October of last year. The former president, who both himself and his movement for socialism still has enormous influence in Bolivia's politics, sought exile in Mexico and now is currently residing in Argentina. Citing indications that the U.S.'s intentions toward Bolivia's presidential elections slated for Sunday, October the 18th, he said that the interim government of Senator Jean Arnaiz has sent one of its ministers to the United States to buy arms to help establish democracy. He asked, how can one think of procuring weapons when they're considering of establishing democracy? Former Bolivian President Evo Morales said that his forced resignation was designed to pass the opposition to his government. He said elections also manifest a competition between those who are seeking nationalization of the country's resources and those favoring privatization of those resources. That election in Bolivia coming up on Sunday. China has called on the United States to restrict military operations in the sea and air in the South China Sea and to refrain from provocation after the U.S. destroyer John S. McCain entered waters around the disputed Paracel Islands. We demand that the United States immediately stop such provocative actions, strictly control and restrict military operations in the sea and air, according to a Chinese military spokesperson in Beijing. The Chinese military will take all measures necessary to safeguard national sovereignty as well as to maintain peace and stability in the South China Sea. China's reaction, sparked by recent U.S. activities in the region, namely the movements of the USS John S. McCain, which has entered waters and are now claimed by China. Over the past few years, Washington has frequently conducted so-called freedom of navigation missions, as well as aerial surveillance missions in the region, insisting that such operations safeguard marine traffic there. Beijing has repeatedly urged the United States to halt all military action in the South China Sea, warning that this only creates further tension in the already sensitive area. Confined coronavirus cases in Latin America and the Caribbean reached 10 million over the weekend. With more than 360,000 deaths, the region is the worst hit in terms of deaths. More than half of the recorded cases in the region have been registered in Brazil, which officially has more than 5 million cases and 149,000 deaths. It is followed by Colombia, Argentina, and Peru. Mexico, although it has fewer cases, has suffered a high number of deaths, the fourth highest in the world, with the death toll currently at 83,000. Many countries are testing only symptomatic patients or the most severe cases. The pandemic is affecting millions of middle-class Latin Americans who are being dragged into poverty by the outbreak, which has hit the region's labor market harder than elsewhere in the world. Poverty is set to surge back to levels not seen since the beginning of 2000. And the New York Times reports the White House recently blocked an order from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention requiring face masks on all forms of public and commercial transportation across the United States. This comes as the U.S. coronavirus cases and hospitalizations continue to rise. The overall caseload has now topped 7.7 million in the United States, with a death toll of nearly 215,000. New cases hit a two-month daily high, with 10 states reporting record single-day rises in cases of COVID-19 in the United States. U.S. President Donald Trump has built a system of direct presidential influence that has been unrivaled in modern U.S. politics, according to an editorial published yesterday, Sunday, in the New York Times. The New York Times editorial points out that Trump has not only failed to end Washington's culture of lobbying and favor-seeking, but has reinvented it, turning his own hotels and his resorts into a new back room where public and private business mix with special interests. Once Trump was in the White House, his family business discovered a lucrative new source of income, people who wanted something from the president. The New York Times investigation found that more than 200 companies, special interest groups, and foreign governments that have sponsored the properties of the U.S. president have been reaping benefits from him and the Donald Trump administration. Climate change is largely to blame for a near doubling of natural disasters in the last 20 years, according to the United Nations. The United Nations Office for Disaster Risk Reduction said that more than 7,000 major disaster events had occurred between 2000 and 2019, claiming that 1.2 lives affecting 4 billion people, costing the economy of the globe about $2.9 trillion. The figure far outstrips the major natural disasters recorded between 1980 and 1999, the United Nations office said in a new report called The Human Cost of Disasters 2000 to 2019. The sharp increase was largely attributable to a rise in climate-related disasters, including extreme weather events like floods, droughts, and storms. Extreme heat is proving especially deadly. The UN report said that it is a conclusion that one can come to when reviewing disaster events over the past 20 years.
Those reports were from Radio Havana, Cuba. Cuba's website has been rebuilt and is working well most days at radiohc.cu. On shortwave, Cuba may be heard from noon to 1 p.m. at 15140 and from 6 p.m. to midnight at either 6000, 6060, 6100, or 6165. One of my goals in producing this show is to encourage people like you to listen to international broadcast, get a global perspective. Every Thursday evening, I post a new shortwave report at the website for this show. That's outfarpress.com. On my website, you can listen to past shows. Please consider making a safe donation online through PayPal. There's a link at my website, along with a podcast link, and get advice for listening at home. The Shortwave Report, which is now in its 24th year of production, remains free to rebroadcast upon notification. The Shortwave Report is produced and distributed off the electrical grid in Northern California using solar panels. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. Thanks for listening.